Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the epistle, which Bob read for us just a little bit ago, from 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And in this passage, Paul is writing about a subject that we don't think about very often, or we don't encounter very often, especially as Lutherans, but he's talking about speaking in tongues. And rather than letting that confuse us or getting all hung up on it, I think it's important for us to really understand what Paul is teaching us in this passage, that God fills our mouths with words, and those words really matter. He fills our mouths with the words of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, do you remember that scene from Mary Poppins where they are in that cartoon horse race? You know, Julie Andrews and Dick Van Dyke, they're riding on these carousel horses, but they are surrounded with all of these other racers that are all animated, which is absolutely intriguing and amazing when you think about it, because green screen technology didn't even exist yet in those days, but there they were. Now, I don't know if spoiler alerts are necessary for a movie that came out in 1964, but just so you know, Mary Poppins does win the race, okay? I'm sorry if I ruined it for anybody, but she does. She wins the race, and then as soon as she's done with the race, she's surrounded by all of these cartoon reporters that want her to give a few words. How did you feel about your victory? And she's apparently at a loss for words, except for one really famous made-up word. It's supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Okay, no. They sing the song, they do the dance. It's awesome, right? Now, at the risk of overanalyzing something that's just supposed to be fun, which I know I am guilty of doing from time to time, especially when I stand in this pulpit, but the whole point of that song is that the word supercalifragilisticexpialidocious is not a real word. It's a made-up word. It sounds like it could be a word, or it sounds like it could be made up from parts of other words all thrown together, but it is not actually a word in and of itself. It doesn't technically have any official definition. And I know that it has now since been added to several dictionaries and all of that. But at the time, it was not a real word. It was a made-up word. And so I think when you look at the advice that the song is giving us, that we should just say that word when there's nothing else to say, or when we're at a loss for words, just say supercalifragilisticexpialidocious and everything will be okay. I think that advice does not hold up. Mary Poppins, don't get me wrong, is full of plenty of other great advice. A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down? Absolutely. Yeah, no problem with that. But making up words that have no meaning does not get us out of any jams. We live in a world that demands authenticity. We can't just go around making up words, words that sound quite atrocious but supposedly make us sound precocious, meaning that it sounds like we are wise beyond our years. No, we need to use real words with real meaning if we want anybody to listen to us. Otherwise, it's just going to sound like we're saying um-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da- we have some really meaningful words that we get to share and we get to read and we get to hear when we come together in church. Our scripture passages today are filled with very meaningful words. And if I was going to take all three of our readings and just use one word to try to describe them all, the word I would use is mission. That comes up in our epistle reading a little bit. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. But the other two readings as well, our Old Testament reading, which I know we were having microphone issues, and I'm sorry, Bob, about that. But the first reading was about Isaiah's call to be a prophet. And really how God gave Isaiah a mission to go and speak his word to his people. And obviously, the gospel reading is full of mission language, right? I mean, this is Jesus giving this really special mission to Peter and James and John, who were called out of their fishing boats, and now the mission is, you're going to be catching men from now on. It's a pretty good mission. Mission is just part of what we're feeling today as we walk into church. I don't know if any of you noticed, but we have the mite box out in the narthex. You probably saw that on your way in. And that's, of course, a reminder that we, as a congregation, support mission work all around the world through the work of the LWML. And we've decided we're going to have that mite box out a little bit more often. We're going to put that out once a quarter. And in your bulletin today, there's purple inserts, which are a good refresher to our memory of where those mission dollars go, all those amazing ministries that they support. It's all about mission. Now, as God gives us this mission as disciples of Jesus, as we go out, it's probably good for us to listen to some advice or to get a little help along the way, because we don't always get things right and we don't always know what to do or what to say. It's helpful to have coaching and training from people who have been there and have done that. And that is where our sermon text from 1 Corinthians chapter 14 comes in. Because these words of Paul give us something really great to pay attention to. When it comes down to it, when you're talking about mission work, I mean, Paul is really an expert in this field. He's got a lot of experience. He's got a lot of things that he can teach us if only we as a church are willing to listen. And I love that in this particular reading, instead of just talking about evangelism and outreach in broad general terms, Paul gets really specific here, and he helps us to understand one particular aspect of all of this, which is our language. It's our words, that when we go about the mission work of the church, we ought to use words that matter. Paul's advice is going to be the opposite of Mary Poppins. We don't always know what to say, but we pray that the Holy Spirit will give us meaningful words so we don't have to just make up words that don't have any meaning or definition to them. That the Holy Spirit will give us words that matter. And he does. Now, that being said, how many times have you ever come to church and you hear a word that is not part of your normal vocabulary? Or maybe words that you just are pretty sure you've never even heard before in your entire life, but for some reason, these are words that get used here in church. I think that happens to us a lot more often than we care to admit. Now, part of the reason why that happens is because we have this really long and rich history as a Christian church that goes back 2,000 years, really. And that's a great thing. It's almost entirely a good thing. But what happens sometimes, one of the potential downsides of all of that, is the world around us changes very rapidly, and the language that the world uses changes. The words that the world uses changes. And we, inside the church, sometimes are a little slow to adapt to that. So what happens is, over time, we end up having our own little language that we speak here, which is different from the way everybody else talks. It's what I would call our church language. We have certain words and certain phrases that we only hear, we only use when we come here together, and we pretty much don't hear them anywhere else. I mean, you could just look at the Lord's Prayer as one example, right? How often do you use the word hallowed in everyday language? Probably not that often. How often do you hear people outside of church talking about all of the gifts and blessings that they have in terms of daily bread? I would guess that doesn't happen very often. And I'm not saying that we should change the words of the Lord's Prayer. I mean, far be it from me to even suggest that. It's the Lord's Prayer. He gave it to us. So we don't need to be messing around with that. But you can just see how over time, if our words in here are different from the words out there, then we are getting closer and closer to having a completely different language that we speak amongst each other entirely. And if we approach the mission work of God using our church ease that we have, well, then it probably will become harder and harder for us to connect with the very people that God has sent us in mission to reach. So it's using that lens now that we can look a little bit more detail at what Paul is sharing with us in this particular reading. Right at the beginning of this passage, Paul says this. He says, since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. Well, that's great advice, right? I mean, that makes a lot of sense. Our focus should be on the kind of gifts that the Holy Spirit grants to us, which make the church bigger and make the church stronger, right? And that's why so much of what we do together and so much of what we talk about is all centered around word and sacrament ministry, preaching and teaching and baptizing and receiving the Lord's Supper together, gathering around the altar, right? We focus so much on these things because all of these things focus on Jesus, right? When we are focused on word and sacrament ministry, there's Jesus. There the church is being built up and it's growing stronger and stronger all the time. Wonderful advice from Paul. But then having received those gifts, we are sent out in mission to those who have not yet received the things that we have received. And this is where Paul reminds us that it's really important for us to use words that have meaning, words that matter. And here's what Paul says in this one particular issue. He says, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that they may interpret what they say. And later on, he says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you, but in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. All right. Now we have to deal with the whole speaking in tongues thing. And like I said before, this is not something that Lutherans talk about very often. This is definitely one of the more potentially confusing things that pops up every once in a while. And we don't always know what to do with it. If you have family or friends that would consider themselves Pentecostal Christians, or maybe people in your life who belong to what's known as the Assemblies of God, or maybe other churches or congregations where they really focus in on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you might know that there are Christians out there who really believe that it's necessary for us to do something called speaking in tongues in order to prove that we have a faith that has been baptized with the Holy Ghost. And that's considered to be something different from the water baptism, water in the word, like we have. And we don't have time to get into all the details about that, baptism of the Holy Ghost specifically. God does make it pretty clear in his word that there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There isn't some separate baptism that we're supposed to be looking for. But besides that, because there are Christian brothers and sisters who believe this, that we should be receiving some extra experience of the Holy Spirit, they teach that in these churches, we should have these moments where we are babbling, crying out, speaking these sometimes unintelligible syllables, And that is evidence that the Holy Spirit is working within us and creating this miraculous prayer language from within. Now, again, far be it from me to suggest that God cannot miraculously work in a person's life and open their mouth and fill them with a special and unique kind of prayer. But what I know for sure in Scripture is that God does not call us to fill our mouths with meaningless words, as if this is some like churchy version of supercalifragilisticexpialidocious that doesn't really have any meaning. And I would argue that when Paul is speaking about speaking in tongues here in this passage, he's not talking about that kind of incoherent babbling. I would argue that what Paul has in mind is a lot more similar to what the disciples themselves experienced on the day of Pentecost, where they opened their mouths and they preached the gospel in languages that they themselves did not know, and people around were actually able to understand the words that they were saying because the words were about Jesus. That is more similar to what Paul is saying than the incoherent babbling that sometimes takes place in these so-called charismatic churches. This is the kind of speaking in tongues that indicates that the gospel goes out on a mission to the whole world when it can be spoken in languages that people didn't know previously. That's an amazing gift that took place on that day and apparently at other times throughout the New Testament era. But Paul's whole point with this here is that if someone receives this kind of gift of the Holy Spirit and somebody does choose to speak in a tongue, Paul says there has to be somebody to interpret. There has to be somebody who is there who can hear and understand what is being said, because it's not the words themselves that matter. It's the meaning. The meaning of the words matter. Clearly communicating the gospel is what matters. Sharing the good news of the death and resurrection of Christ so that others would be able to not just hear it, but understand it and repent and believe. This is Paul's lesson to the Corinthians. And this is a really great thing for us to hear as well. Because we, like I said, we have this other language that we use sometimes. We have this church ease, this church language. And don't get me wrong, I mean, there is a time and a place for us to use it, right? When we are growing in our faith and we're maturing and we're diving deeper into our study of God's word, and we have interpreters. We have pastors and teachers and others among us who can help us understand some of these big words that we come to church and hear and we don't previously know the definitions of them. It is good at times for us to use those words and to be precise in the way that we talk about biblical theology. But may we never forget, when we leave here and we go out on a mission to go catch people as if we're catching fish, that it's really important for us to use words that will matter to the very people that we're trying to reach. That the Holy Spirit fills our mouths with very meaningful words, words that are simple, but words that really matter to the whole world. He gives us the words of eternal life. He gives us the words of the greatest story that has ever been told. Words that tell about a God who came to save us all from sin and death by being willing to sacrifice himself on a cross, dying, and then rising again. Words that bring comfort because they tell us about God's forgiveness and his love and his mercy, constant reassurance to us through those words. Simple words, meaningful words, words that ultimately lead us to Jesus Christ, who is, who was, who always will be, for lack of a better word, pretty supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, or something like that. In his most precious name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I have a couple updates for our prayer list today. Listed under ongoing health needs, we will be praying for Shirley Large. That is the mother of Deb Obermeyer. Shirley was placed in hospice care over the weekend, and she appears to be nearing the end of her earthly life. So please keep all of their family in your prayers. Also, we have, if you haven't already heard, we received word this week that our dear brother in Christ, Virgil Butch Spener, passed away. He was called home to heaven on Wednesday morning. And so please keep Elaine and all of the Spener family in your prayers. Please stand as we go to God in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Father of all joy, you have taught us to believe in your righteous acts and deeds of salvation from our youth. Teach us now to proclaim your might to the next generation, that they too may rejoice in you. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God of hosts, sustain those called to be fishers of men in Christ's church. Grant that they would not be discouraged when they toil all night and take nothing, but continue to let down their nets at his word according to that calling. Bless all of the efforts of our mission partners, especially our sister congregation, Trinity Lutheran Church and School in Centralia, and their pastor, Jim Hennig. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, give us faith to let down the nets of your word in our daily vocations, and to trust your Son to do his gracious work through poor sinners like us. Bless our homes, that they would be special places of refuge and love. Be with all who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Pamela, Harbor, Douglas, Cheryl, Mandy, Avery, Emma, Elaine, Colin, Carolyn, and Howard. We also thank you for the gift of Christian marriage. We ask you to bless Nicholas and Kelsey Malik and all who are celebrating wedding anniversaries. Lord, in your mercy, merciful God, bless our nation and those who serve. Be with our leaders in government, with all civil servants, first responders, and others who support our community. Grant an extra measure of your grace to those who serve in the armed forces of this land, especially Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Alex, Isaac, Patty, Austin, Ward, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, and Mark. Lord, in your mercy. O God, be not far from us. As you have worked deeds of salvation in Christ Jesus, so make haste to help us now in every trouble. Give healing to the sick, strength to the weak, and comfort to the afflicted, especially all who are on our prayer list, including those who are in care facilities, Threta, Beulah, Janice, Jim, Charles, and Betty. We lift before you those with ongoing health needs and concerns, especially Thomas, Richard, Don, Bob, Jim, Marvin, Amy, Ronnie, Francie, Greg, Eulene, Gina, Shirley, Christy, Brent, Jeff, Nancy, Laverne, and all those who are facing cancer. Do not forsake us, nor the generations to come. We also lift before you, Lord, those who are mourning loved ones who have passed, especially the family and friends of Butch Spener. We pray that you would hold them in your hands and remind them daily of the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Lord, in your mercy, send from your altar, O Lord, the body and blood of Christ. Cleanse us and our lips by this blessed sacrament and deliver to us the atonement Christ has won for us, that we may be worthy to stand before you now and at the last day. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, never depart from us, Though we are unworthy of you and your bounty, you are pleased to receive our meager thanks and reluctant obedience for the sake of Christ's perfect obedience. Let your word rule us and your spirit revive us to leave behind pride and anxiety alike, that we may follow you in all we do. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the same Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Congregation may be seated. And at this time, I'll invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Please stand. We turn now to page 176 and we sing the offertory. We continue now with our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Please stand. In the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul until life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. Let us now sing our post-communion canticle, Thank the Lord, on page 181. Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament, and we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated for the closing hymn, number 924. Lord, dismiss us with your blessing. Good morning. I want to thank you all once again for being here with us today. And this just as an extension of what I mentioned in the prayers, this does not count as one of my three announcements, okay? But coming up this week will be the funeral of Butch Spenner. And so I wanted to make sure everybody knew that we will be having visitation and funeral all in one day on Wednesday. 9 o'clock is the beginning of the visitation, and 11 o'clock will be the funeral. And after the funeral and the graveside committal, we will have a luncheon in the activity center. So I wanted to make sure everybody knew that that was happening this week, and you're all invited to come. Also related to that, and not part of one of my three announcements, is that the men's choir is singing at the funeral, and there will be a rehearsal for that on Tuesday night at 7:30. Okay, so men, please join us at 7:30. Now for my official three things you need to know this week. First, today is the Super Bowl, but here in Hoyleton, before all of that happens, we have the not-so-Super Bowl, which takes place outside in the outfield of the ball diamond out there. And so that is going to start at 12:30. Hopefully this year nobody will crash into the solar panels. That would be good. So please let Ben Bainey know if you have any questions about that. Number two, we're looking forward next week, next Sunday. Please mark your calendar. Our famous Domino's and Domino's Family Night is coming back by popular demand. And so we're excited for this next Sunday, 5:30 p.m. We're going to eat Domino's pizza and we're going to play Domino's. We'd like to invite you to bring a side dish or dessert to share along with the pizza. And also, if you happen to have Domino's that you could bring along, that would be really helpful too. We have some sets here, but it'd be good to have others. And we would really like if you have double 12s. Double 12s are the best kind for this event, but other kinds of Domino's would work fine too. So mark your calendar for next Sunday. And finally, number three. So some of you might have received a text message link to the church calendar for February. So way back in the time of COVID, we had signed people up for text message updates back when there were lots of things that we needed to let our congregation know very quickly. And so some of you, about 127 of you to be exact, have already signed up for text updates. And this past week, you might have received a link to the church calendar. We know that the mail has not been as reliable as it has been in the past. And so some of our members were not receiving their calendars in the mail until almost the month is already over. So we're now posting that calendar online on our website at trinityhoyleton.org. And we are texting out a link to that calendar so you can quickly access it from your phone. If you did not receive a text message, if you are not receiving any text messages, but you would like to, please sign up for those. It's as simple as talking to Jane in the office and letting her know that you'd like to be a part of that list, and we will make sure that we send those text message updates out to you. Let us know if you have any questions about that. Any other announcements? Yes, Kurt Grody. That's right. Yep, you don't have to receive a text message to access the calendar. You can simply go to trinityhoyleton.org, and there is a button that says calendar right at the top. Thanks, Kurt. Anything else? All right, well, enjoy this beautiful day that the Lord has made. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us. We hope to see you again next week.